Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to August here on Fantasy Sports Today, which means fantasy football season is here. I'm Craig Mish. Along with Davis Maddock, we're going to cover all the top stories, of course, in fantasy football, baseball as well, golf, everything happening. But naturally, we're following here the beat in the path to the upcoming NFL season, college football season also coming nonetheless. We have our headlines here to get to here. But Davis, before we do get to the headlines, of course, the top story of the day here today on FST is the news that we got this morning that Deshaun Watson, through an arbitrator has been a judge, has been determined to get a 6-game suspension for the upcoming NFL season. Naturally, he's now on the Cleveland Browns, no longer a member of the Houston Texans. Davis, is worth noting, he sat out all of 2021, did not play a single game. And the story does not clearly end here, because the NFL can step in and certainly change the suspension, or at least alter the suspension. But that is definitely where we have to start today. All right, we'll get back to Davis here in just a second. But naturally, let's take a look real quick before we get to our other headlines here of all the games that Deshaun Watson will miss for the upcoming season here. Naturally, he's going to miss, I think it's a total of 6 games, if I'm not mistaken. Davis, the first game is going to be against Carolina. The next game is going to be against, as you can see here, he's missing, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, the Chargers, and the New England Patriots. Davis, if this holds, obviously this changes the dynamic of what the Browns are going to do, but I'm not sure that the story is completely over at this point yet.
Yeah, I would imagine it's not. So the NFL technically does not have to do what the independent arbitrator said, right? So this goes to arbitration, and that means the NFL can get an independent opinion. I believe the judge's name is Sue Robinson. So they can take that opinion and then do what they feel like. And, you know, we have seen Goodell do, you know, honestly, it just feels like there's no precedent here, right? Because, you know, Calvin Ridley suspended an entire season for gambling. We have seen some guys with, you know, sexual violence accusations against them get suspended. And we have seen some guys, when they went to court, there was no criminal charges, not feature lengthy suspensions. You know, there was the case of the Giants kicker who was involved in domestic violence, who played the entire season and then was suspended the next season. Like it, I think it just kind of depends on how much of a legal battle the NFL wants to have, because it sounds like Watson's representation wants to get very litigious in this situation. There was a report earlier this morning from Jordan Rodrigue that Watson's team doesn't want to accept this 6-game suspension, that they believe it should be 0 games, which I suppose from Watson's perspective does make sense. If Watson truly thinks there was no wrongdoing, if he thinks he did not commit any crimes or whatever, then 6 games doesn't make any sense. I think his camp would basically be arguing either I need to be suspended indefinitely or 0 games. Like the 6 games feels like a middle ground for the Watson camp. I don't really know what is going to happen. It's kind of a PR battle for the NFL to have to fight. And I don't really know what their motivations are here.
Yeah. Well, the NFLPA is accepting of the suspension. So basically, that's the first step toward this actually being 6 games. And I believe that Goodell, the commissioner of the league, has about 72 hours, I think 3 days, to formally either appeal this, change it, or whatever. No sense, as Davis mentioned. We would just be guessing. But 6 games is on the table, at the very least, for Watson. And we are going to get into the fantasy aspect of that coming up in just a few minutes. We'll kind of go through where he potentially should be drafted. Naturally, it's a bigger than football story, but for our show, it is a football story. Let's get to our other headlines here on the show today. Seattle Mariners place all-world rookie Julio Rodriguez on the injured list. X-rays were negative after he was hit by a pitch, but he's going to miss about another week. As we mentioned, Deshaun Watson suspended for 6 games, which we touched on and we will continue to here on the show. What we'll go to next here is Deebo Samuel and the San Francisco 49ers. They agree to a 3-year, $73.5 million contract. Chase Young, unfortunately for Washington, going to miss the first week of the season at least with the Commanders. But this is news at least that we understand that Deebo is going to be with the 49ers, at least for the short term, Davis. Naturally, in fantasy, to me, he's one of the more compelling stories, I think, going into the season. Because for me, the bye window was last year. I made it very clear here on the show. He was my favorite player in all of fantasy football. If there was ever a trophy given out for that, I would have gotten it here on this show. But I got to be honest, like this year, it's like his price is so high that he has to do exactly what he did last year. But congrats to him for getting the bag. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, even if you took out all of the rushing stats for Deebo Samuel last season, so no rushing yards, no rushing touchdowns, he still would have finished as the wide receiver 10 in full point PPR. He's currently being drafted as the wide receiver 8. So, you know, I think there's definitely room for the rushing work to be scaled back and for Deebo to still be a guy that you can profitably draft. But obviously the big thing that you need with Deebo is the touchdowns, right? He is very right. touchdown dependent because the 49ers offense is not a really high volume offense. And I think the concern would be Trey Lance has taken all those touchdowns. You get to the 4-yard line, he's doing the power sweep with Eli Mitchell, and he's using that 240-pound frame to just barrel through some linebackers and get in the end zone. So honestly, the 49er who I think is the most appropriately priced right now is George Kittle going as the tight end 5. He feels like the big 49ers winner for me.
Yep, I would agree with that. And I'll also agree with, we are far from done talking fantasy football here on this show. We're going to dive into some individual teams coming up a little bit later. By the way, our team-by-team previews here on Fantasy Sports Today begin after the Major League Baseball trade deadline a little bit later this week. So make sure you tune in for our first couple of previews. We'll be back with more news on the Browns and Deshaun Watson.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid. So naturally, Davis Maddock, thank goodness, is all over the fantasy ramifications from this Deshaun Watson story. You know, certainly I have my opinions on it too, but naturally we can only play what we have right in front of us, Davis, which is like the cards that we have. So we have cards that show 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson here in 2022. Naturally, you're involved in the best ball format. That's got to be switching over now to everybody drafting at this point here in August. So we're going to get a better idea as to what is coming. And honestly, kind of where you feel he should be drafted right now in fantasy football, knowing what you know. I think that you and I are probably surprised that it's only 6 games, regardless of how you feel about the situation. But if it is, and this holds, what does it mean?
So, I mean, I was definitely drafting under the assumption that Sean Watson was not going to be one of these guys who helped you win in fantasy this season. I've probably done, I don't know, 200 drafts or something like that up until this point. Definitely have selected Deshaun Watson, and definitely less than 5 of those. He's kind of going, in, or was going sort of around 13, 14, 15 as the 25th quarterback off the board. My guess is now he probably rises immediately after the Trey Lance, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady group and is drafted something like the 12th or 13th quarterback off the board, assuming the 6-game suspension. Now, there's definitely a difference between a best ball quarterback and then being able to move your roster around, add a guy to cover the weeks where he's going to be missing, because they also have their bye week in week 10. The fantasy football playoffs start in week 13 or week 14. So you're really only going to have Watson available for 5 games of your regular season. I probably will not be that interested in drafting him. You know, one of my big things is just don't draft players who are injured, right? Because they're missing games and you just need to accumulate as many points as possible earlier in the season. And I kind of feel the same way about suspended players. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, for example, 6-game suspension for PEDs. There's been plenty of situations where he's been on the clock when I've been picking in the 7th or 8th round. And I just move past because it just becomes a giant headache to have this guy on your roster. You're unaware of what the performance is going to be like. You know, is Deshaun Watson still going to run? Is he going to be involved in this legal battle continuing into the season, right? The courts move a lot slower than the NFL season does, right? That is a big variable here. I mean, how long did it take us for him to get through the grand jury, to get through this independent hearing? Oh, you know, he's going to appeal for 0 games. The NFL, according to Greg Rosenthal from NFL.com, still has the appeals process open to them. So this independent ruling, they can appeal this. They got to go through that. I mean, and I am not a lawyer. I am not a legal expert. You know, I think we have some people who come on the channel who are have a much greater insight into, you know, the legal ramifications and the process of all of this. My guess would be, though, Craig, we have not heard the last of this, right? I don't think this is a situation where Watson goes, okay, cool. And the NFL goes, okay, cool. And the Browns are like, all right, that's fine. Like, this is going to stay in the courts. I don't really see an end to this. So there are people who are going to be drafting him pretty aggressively. I really cannot see myself being one of those people given all of these, you know, huge question marks surrounding his availability.
Yeah, and I listen, I think all of that is fair. It's interesting that for those of you who don't see behind the scenes of the show, Davis and I, you know, having an interesting conversation because Brett sent us over the Browns total. And for me, I feel like I'm pretty, this is like my strong suit. I'm pretty pragmatic when it comes to, you know, looking at these things and sort of understanding wagering. Those of you know, I've been with Sports Grid for a long time. I tend to be a very big contrarian with sports wagering and even the season win totals. So when I looked at it and Brett sent this over and I saw that the Browns total was 9.5, it was a little shocking to me because I thought, wait a second here, this feels really high. Like this feels like without Watson for 6 games, I look at Watson in Houston and think to myself, I mean, he's generally winning 9, 10, 11 games with that team and he's playing the whole season. And so here we are and he's going to be missing the first third of the season. So how do the Browns get above that? And then I take a step back, Davis, and I think, okay, I must be missing something here because if the total is that, there's going to be 50% on one side and 50% on the other side, and that's the achievement here at this point. So I've just played my narrative for the under 9.5. I suppose we should play the over for 9.5 just to make it make sense.
I mean, I believe the reason why it would be set at 9.5 is one, I think some people are wagering that Deshaun Watson doesn't miss any time, right? You know, there would people be out there who say, look, if Watson's camp is appealing to get it down to 0 games, then there's a chance that, you know, the Browns become like a 12-win team or whatever. And then, you know, the season starts for them, not in a particularly difficult way, even with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback, right? Who I don't think is very good. But they get to play the Carolina Panthers, who are just not very good. They're going to play the New York Jets, likely not that great of a team. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, we don't even know who their quarterback is going to be in week 3. They could be going from Trubisky to Pickett. Apparently Mason Rudolph's having a good camp. Like, they're not very strong. Atlanta might be the worst team in the NFL. I think they definitely, with Jacoby Brissett, lose that Chargers and that Patriots game. Like, I would expect them to be, you know, touchdown underdogs probably in those games. But if they get out of that group of games, let's even call it 2 wins, they get Deshaun Watson back. He's been at training camp, right? He was there at OTAs. He knows the offense. He's been, you know, it's all kind of distasteful, but he's all been there. You know, they've been doing the whole, you know, Watson, I think, paid for a bunch of guys to go on like a vacation or whatever. But if he comes in and plays like good Deshaun Watson, this Browns roster would be better than any roster that he played with in Houston, right? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was great, but the defense was always bad. The offensive line was always quite bad. The Browns roster, and I think the reason why the Browns made this gamble to begin with, because remember, lots of teams wanted Watson, but they were not willing to guarantee the salary, right? That was the, you know, the Falcons wanted him, the Panthers wanted him, the Denver Broncos wanted him. There were all these teams that wanted him, but they were not willing to do a fully guaranteed salary, regardless of what ended up happening with the suspension. We even got that 11th hour report that the Browns were off the table, that he was like, I don't want to go play in Cleveland. And then Cleveland came back and they said, we'll just give you all the money and we'll structure it in very favorable terms for you, where you're even going to get paid even if you don't play at all in the 2022-2023 season. And the reason why they were willing to do all that and to basically just say, you know, we don't care about the moral implications of the situation, we just want Deshaun Watson on our team, is because their team is really good. The defense, absolutely fearsome. They have all these difference-making players. They get Amari Cooper at what looks like a huge value compared to what, you know, Christian Kirk is making in Jacksonville and all this stuff. They have Donovan Peoples-Jones. They have Anthony Schwartz. They draft David Bell, who they like. They're paying Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I think a combined like $25 million. They signed David Njoku to the $57 million extension. Like, they've got a lot of money dedicated into this team this year. I'm definitely not betting over on this, not a chance, because I think you could get rug pulled really easily where it ends up that Watson is in this legal battle all season. But I get why someone would want to bet the over.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. And you got to play both sides with some of this stuff. I guess the shame of it is for Watson, it's like, Davis, my mind, it's hard to like wrap myself around the last 10 years of Houston Texans football. It's like, because I really don't remember. It's like my vision of Houston is Arian Foster rushing for like 1,700 yards and Andre Johnson on the outside catching 15, 16 touchdowns. And so I thought to myself, wait, how's that possible? And then I look and I'm like, oh, that was before Deshaun Watson got there, when they didn't have a quarterback. Like, they had Case Keenum and they were just sort of running through different quarterbacks there. So yeah, probably right. Cleveland does look more talented on paper than Houston. But I got to be honest with you, Watson missing six games and this total being 9.5, I got to lean toward the under, if indeed this six games ends up holding, at least in my opinion. All right, we got to take a break. We will come back. More fantasy talk on the way. Also updating on anything happening in Major League Baseball as far as the trade deadline is concerned. Not a lot happening in baseball, so I guess it's all coming later today or tomorrow. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid. Our team-by-team preview begin later this week as we take a look at the NFC ADP of every player on every NFL team all the way through the upcoming fantasy football draft season. But to give you a little bit of a preview as to some of the things that we may be discussing, it's going through the quarterbacks, the running backs, wide receivers, tight end. By the way, also at Daily Roto, you can get all this information too. Davis and I will be together doing all of these. I know Davis is going to take a little vacation. Congratulations, Davis, on getting married and honeymoon. And I know Brett is going on his honeymoon as well. But we will plow through every single team and kind of give you the team by team previews. And I know, Davis, for I think the average person here, the month of August is sort of the trigger for fantasy football. Like, this is when it comes in. You got the Hall of Fame game getting ready to go on Thursday night. And I think that, after the trade deadline, I feel like it's like a perfect time to sort of pivot over to that discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that this is when, you know, most people are they're picking up their fantasy football magazine when they're at the grocery store. They're standing there at the checkout aisle. They're like, oh, all right, I'm gonna pick up my magazine. I'm gonna start listening to my fantasy football podcast. Gonna pop into a couple mock drafts, maybe do a couple best ball drafts. Start thinking about, you know, if I'm in a home league with keepers or whatever, got to start figuring that out. You know, remembering who plays on, oh, Christian Kirk is on the Jaguars, AJ Brown's on the Eagles, like, you know, there'll be, oh, I just remembered DeAndre Hopkins is suspended. So we're definitely entering into that part of the season for lots of folks, I think.
All right, so to give you a little bit of a taste as to what this may look like starting on Thursday, we're gonna just take a look at two teams in particular, and then on Thursday what we'll do is we'll give you the NFFC ADP for all of these players. And then a secondary segment here on the show where we'll do like a high-low, or is the player going too high? Is it going too low? Who you should be targeting? We'll sort of roll through that all through August and September. But let's kind of take a look briefly today at the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, a lot of the news for the Cardinals is surrounding things that have nothing to do, Davis, with football and to do with this piece of Kyler Murray's contract. I heard Warren Moon in an interview recently, the Hall of Famer, saying it was sort of insulting to even have this in Kyler Murray's contract, to say that basically he wasn't studying enough and it took him back to his days when he was playing in the CFL and the NFL. Very interesting interview from him. But naturally, Murray is going to make everything go for them for sure. I think that, Davis, from a fantasy perspective, if you were to question his season going in, I think it would be completely fair. He's looked like the best quarterback in fantasy for a month, and then it was like almost unplayable in the second half of the fantasy season. So I guess the question is that going to change, or is the coaching going to change at the end of the season? Because something's got to give here.
Yeah, if you look back at Kyler's season last year and you see when he injured his ankle and then the before and after that. So the game against Cleveland, he has 4 passing touchdowns and hurts his ankle in that game. Then the next game, he rushes for a combined 31 yards, has 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in the next 2 games, and then ends up sitting out against San Francisco, Carolina, and Seattle. The team loses that Carolina game. Remember, they win that San Francisco game with the backup quarterback, with Colt McCoy playing quarterback for them. Just one of those weird situations. They beat Chicago, and then he plays horribly against the Rams. Just gets stone cold smoked against the Rams, 32-49, 2 interceptions in that game. Plays horribly against the Lions. Awful game against the Colts. Finally has another good game against Dallas. But I mean, just very clearly not the same guy. And this has literally been true every year of Kyler's career. Starts out looking amazing. No one can touch him in the pocket. He's juking defenders. He looks incredible. He's dropping these dimes down the field to, you know, whoever is out there. And then he gets hurt. And then he's 5'9", and he weighs 180 pounds. And it's just very hard for him to hold up. The biggest fantasy story of this season for the Cardinals last year, though, was the Chase Edmonds injury, which led to James Conner leading the NFL in rushing touchdowns last season. He is now a 3rd-round pick. You know, it feels like he could easily pay off that tag, or he could kind of fulfill a lot of the concerns we had about him last year. How effective is he going to be in the passing game? Is he a really efficient runner? Did he just run kind of hot on touchdowns? Do they work in Eno Benjamin? Is Darrell Williams, who was signed in free agency from the Chiefs, going to play on third downs? You know, if James Conner is not playing third downs, he just kind of turns into Josh Jacobs, which is not really a guy you want to have in fantasy. And then, I mean, huge storylines for the wide receivers. So they move on from Christian Kirk. They trade the 1st-round pick for Hollywood Brown. DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for 6 games. Is Rondale Moore going to not be a bust, right? So they take Andy Isabella in the 2nd round. Huge bust. They sign AJ Green in free agency. They trade the 5th-round pick for Zach Ertz. Really, you know, it's going to be kind of up to Hollywood Brown transitioning from the Ravens to the Cardinals and Rondale Moore embracing a full-time role on if this offense is going to be effective or not. Because if they can't play Rondale 75% of the snaps and Marquise Brown is not evolving as a wide receiver, then we're talking about, you know, AJ Green and Zach Ertz getting 25% of the targets of this offense. And like, that's not going to be efficient. You know, there's no explosion if you're having to use those guys that often.
Yeah. And look, I think that's a huge part of it. And obviously the Hopkins suspension is going to sort of tell the story. And then who would have known that Marquise Brown would go down in training camp already too? I mean, look, that's definitely a part of it. AJ Green, Zach Ertz, as you mentioned. All right, let's pivot over to the Atlanta Falcons for a minute, and to give you a little sneak preview as to some of the things we'll be talking about as time goes on. Unfortunately, you know, I thought the Falcons actually were pretty competitive for a time last year, but I think they got to the end of the season, Davis, and said, you know what, this trajectory that we're on, it's time to, you know, take a step back. Clearly, are the Falcons in rebuild mode? I mean, I don't know if that's exactly the case here, but they do have one of the lowest season win totals in the NFL going into the season, which tells you, maybe even before training camp, before the season starts, some of these players, Davis, that we're looking at, they may move them. Like this could be a team, a 4-win team or a 5-win team. Marcus Mariota is going to be their quarterback going to the season. You know, Patterson, London, give me an idea.
Well, they're going to be pretty bad on offense. Last season, they were 26th in the NFL in points scored, 29th in the NFL in yards gained. They only gained 5.1 yards per play. They turned the ball over a ton, 15 team interceptions. They got penalized a bunch as a team. You know, I mean, just nothing really positive to build on for them. Their wins look very suspect. In you know, if we go back and look at some of the wins they did get last season, they beat the awful Giants, the awful Jets. They did happen to get a win against the Dolphins, which was probably their their week 9 win against the Saints was probably their signature win from last season. But they just don't really have any talent. They have maybe the worst offensive line in the NFL. They have all these veteran guys at running back. You know, they signed Damian Williams. They drafted a converted linebacker, Tyler Allgeier, out of BYU in the 4th round. Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be, you know, their slot wide receiver and probably their third down running back. I am obviously excited about Kyle Pitts, first round pick last year, and Drake London, first round pick this year. But it's like, how much can you actually ask these guys to do? Marcus Mariota is now on, I believe, his 4th or his 5th NFL team. Obviously, he's not been a starter in quite some time. Every team that's had him has moved on from him. Desmond Ridder was a 3rd-round pick. You know, he's kind of exciting as a rusher, ran a 4.5 40 at the combine, but really was not a very effective passer and was horrible under pressure. If you go look at his Pro Football Focus grades under pressure when he played at Cincinnati, really was not a good scene. You have the worst offensive line in the NFL, you're probably going to be under pressure. I mean, really, the two guys who I'm most interested in are Kyle Pitts, because, I mean, he just might be an alien, right? I mean, I don't know if we've really seen very many guys play this way in the NFL. And if the rest of the team is terrible, sure. I mean, his touchdown upside is probably a lot lower than we like. Only scored one touchdown on, I believe, 116 targets last season. But, you know, if he ups that to 6 touchdowns and has a 28% target share of the offense, we're looking at a potential league-winning guy. And then Cordarrelle Patterson, because he is the most explosive player they have on offense. And, you know, I last year they gave a lot of touches to Mike Davis, who was really quite poor. You know, Mike Davis got 182 touches last season at 4.2 yards per touch, only turned all of those touches into 4 touchdowns. And is Damian Williams going to be any better than that? You know, I kind of like Damian Williams, but he is a 31-year-old running back on, I believe, his 5th team now. So it's like, what can we really expect from him? So if Patterson can get to, you know, let's call it 90 carries and 100 targets, that's a really interesting player, because he's running back eligible, right? I mean, the back end of running back is so bad. If you can scrape together 190 touches with half of those being targets, that's a pretty interesting fantasy player.
Yeah, I think so. I think that for me, the Pitts conversation is definitely, you know, honestly worth extending, because, you know, Davis, I think that you said it best. Like, even in a really bad season, I still think that, like, you know, 80 targets, 60 catches, 700, 800 yards. And I guess the other question becomes, is that if Atlanta uses him at all, and everyone wants to use Debo, there's only one Debo, so I don't buy that. But if Atlanta decides to give him a handful of carries, and who knows, Davis, like, goal line back, like, is that even out of the realm of possibility here? I think that that would just have an enormous impact on his season.
I think you're definitely right. I mean, injuries are probably going to pay, like, it's going to be like the biggest role on this team, right? So it's like, if Drake London gets injured, that's a huge thing. If Damian Williams gets injured, if Cordarrelle Patterson gets injured, if Allgeier gets, like, whichever guy goes down first is going to feed into a lot of these other guys. Like one of the Falcons running backs will probably be a good value. We just don't know which one.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. Coming up next, it's time for some fantasy reality. Then we got the Sports Grid 60. So stay on the grid, as we have plenty more to come, Davis and I, with you up until noon Eastern. And then we'll send it over to Kevin and Donnie. And then I'll be back with you for another edition of Newswire. We will cover this Deshaun Watson story extensively. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to make sure you're following us on social media. On Twitter, it's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks, of course, against the spread, and opinions from all of our hosts. Naturally, today, a lot of Deshaun Watson conversation going on, as he was suspended for six games by a judge, and naturally now someone who is independent makes that call. We'll see what the NFL Davis decides to do. My guess is by end of day today, tomorrow, we'll find out if the NFL plans to appeal this. And then at that point, we'll have some real clarity as to where the suspension is for the season.
Yeah, I mean, I am a little bit less optimistic in terms of that clarity. My guess is this is going to continue to be a battle until the season starts. I mean, it's kind of, same thing with Kamara. Like, just any of these legal, like, remember the thing with Zeke where he was suspended and then he appealed the suspension and he played, then the suspension came in. It's like the NFL has created such a murky thing with itself. So the NBA is the opposite of this. You know, there's the felony domestic charges against Bridges of the Hornets right now. And the way it's written in the NBA CBA is the NBA does not have the right to suspend until a United States federal court has decided, right? When it's a felony charge. And the fact that the NFL has gone, you know, kind of extra judicial on these things, creating a huge headache for themselves with the Watson case.
Yeah, no, I think so. And maybe you're right. Maybe this doesn't get resolved anytime soon. But at the very least, we have to press on with the fantasy football season. Also got to press on with a little baseball. Trade deadline coming tomorrow. Let's do some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, well, I saw this up close and person over the weekend, and it had nothing to do with the topic that we're about to discuss. The New York Mets visited South Florida, Davis, for 3 days and put a whooping on the Miami Marlins, effectively ending any postseason hopes for the season, that's for sure. And by the way, this weekend, they did not pitch Max Scherzer, they did not pitch Jacob deGrom, they did not pitch Tyler McGill, who eventually will come back for the Mets as well. And so I think it kind of tells you something. They also have Carlos Carrasco. They also have Chris Bassett. They also have Taijuan Walker. And on top of it, they got Scherzer and DeGrom going the next 2 days. Fantasy or reality, Davis? The New York Mets have the best rotation in Major League Baseball.
So I took a look over at the advanced pitching stats tab over on baseballreference.com. And the New York Mets, as it stands right now, are the fifth team in ERA plus in baseball behind the Dodgers, Astros, Yankees, and Braves. But of course, Jacob deGrom has not yet pitched for the big league club. That is going to make a huge difference for them. I would say confidently Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom are the best 1-2 in baseball. And, you know, if we're addressing this for the playoffs, a lot of the times you're not even getting to your fourth starter and you're never using your fifth starter in the playoffs because you're going to have games off every other day. And guys are going to pitch on 3 days rest. But in a seven game series, you are very likely to see deGrom and Scherzer twice. So I will say, as it stands right now, with the MLB trade deadline pending, this is a reality. Now, obviously, a couple things could shake this. One, the Dodgers could make a huge acquisition. The Yankees could make a huge acquisition. I heard a report, now I don't know if this is true or not, so much smoke this time of year, that Ohtani was telling people if he gets traded, he would like to be a Met. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if the Angels are even interested in move. Like there's just so much. But obviously, whatever team gets Ohtani, I mean, that would be one of the biggest moves in trade deadline history. Same thing if Juan Soto gets moved. Mm-hmm. But I think as of right now, clearly the Mets do have the best rotation. But if you think the Dodgers are going through this trade deadline without adding an arm, you know, to give them some backup for Mitch White and Tony Gonsolin and these guys, I mean, you're out of your mind. Like, they're adding at least one guy.
Yeah, the Dodgers end up with Trout and Ohtani probably tomorrow.
Probably, yeah.
That's what they do. The Milwaukee is really good with Peralta back and Ashby and Woodruff and Burns. That's a really, really strong rotation. And that's just not to be messed with. I really think that that's going to play a factor at the end of the season. Houston getting somebody with Verlander along with Framber Valdez and Javier and Urquidy and some of the guys they have there, Davis, that is no joke. Also for Houston, cannot forget about them too. Having DeGrom is a game changer for the Mets. You can't ignore that. But if you told me that DeGrom made one start and we didn't see him the rest of the season, then I would not have the Mets. So I guess that's the dynamic here that I would say is reality. I would also add that and I want to be clear on this one, Davis, too. As much as I have been, and I still will remain, anti-closer in fantasy and moving forward, probably that, Davis, the season that Edwin Diaz is having is a historical season, man. Like, I have not seen a guy in the ninth inning look this good, maybe since, like, I remember Eckersley in the 80s with Oakland. It is something to behold. He is unhittable and striking out, Davis, every single batter he faces. This is not a every other batter. Every batter Edwin Diaz faces, he strikes out. I just have not seen anything like this in a long time. But anyway, I digress. Reality
for me. Who needs Jared Kelnick, right?
Oh my gosh. Like, it is insane. He's unhittable right now. I mean, maybe this changes, but I will tell you that for 2023, if Diaz finishes this out the way that he's looking, I may take a closer early next year and it would be him. That's how good. I have not seen anybody like this in a long time. So reality for me, with DeGrom, without, no. All right, let's get to social media. Fantasy football season is here. Hall of Fame game is Thursday. College football season is closer than anybody even imagines just a few weeks away. Fantasy reality, Davis, you tweeted your excitement for football season this weekend, like our very own Ben Stevens. The time is near.
Yeah, this is a fantasy. I did not do it. I'm actually, and you're gonna think I'm absolutely crazy here. I'm feeling the time crunch, right? I have so many teams left to draft before the start of the season. You know, not only do I need to finish drafting all my best ball teams, but I have to schedule around, you know, doing the main event, doing the single entry tournament over on the NFFC. I got to draft my home league teams. I got to do all these things. And by the way, I also have to get married and do a honeymoon in the middle of that. So I'm kind of the opposite. You know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, get me to the first game of the season. Get me to college football kicking off. Like, I want this. I need this. I want football on my TV. And I'm like, guys, can we get another week? Can we get an extra hour in the day? Like, what? Like, because I have so much left to get done before the season starts. So I'm kind of trying to mentally push it off so that it doesn't feel like I have too much to do before the season actually gets here.
Yeah, this is fantasy for me. I did not tweet my excitement, and good for Ben, though, by the way. Ben's, you know, I like football just like the rest of us here, but I think that people know about me by now on this one. So to give you an idea for me how this sort of works, and it works like this every single year. So Davis, as far as like reporting and doing some of the things in addition to what I do here for Sports Grid. So my Super Bowl is the winter, right? Like, that's my Super Bowl for baseball because it's everything is happening at that time. The winter meetings, there are trades, there are signings, and it's great, but it sort of stinks because it's every day, right? It's like, I don't know what's going to happen. And this goes on for a while. And so it's annoying. The phone is always on. So that's the Super Bowl. So my March Madness, Davis, is now, right? Like, if those are the two big events, right now we've hit March Madness for me. Because the next 24 hours, crazy stuff is going to happen. And I got to have the backup battery on the phone. And I got to be ready because some things are gonna go down. And so it's fun. It's nerve-wracking. But I can tell you that once tomorrow is over, it is smooth sailing for me. Because baseball just comes to an end. And it is all about football and fantasy football. And that's the easy part for me. So I got fantasy. I did not tweet this out. My focus is still on baseball until tomorrow is over. All right, Beyonce apparently has a new album out. I guess I just revealed my answer here. Fantasy or reality, Davis, you listen to one song of Beyonce's new album, which I guess is out.
Yeah, I think it's called Renaissance. This is a fantasy, though. I did not listen to Beyonce's new album. I mean, Craig, I'm sitting here like, there's too much to do. New music right now? I mean, there could be new music come out from someone I love right now, and I might not be able to get to it because I just have too much going on. And I just, you know, I mean, Beyonce's fine. Like, she's obviously very talented. I'm definitely more likely to listen to new music from her husband than from, I can't remember the last time he put out new music. It's been a while, but yeah, no, this is a fantasy. I saw like a think piece about her album because apparently she has this song, like it's called like What's Wrong with America. But then basically the subtext is like, there's so much wrong, it's overwhelming. So I'm just gonna do my own thing, I don't know. So it was like a, you know, classic New York Times opinion piece that's very divorced from the reality that most of us are living NBA fantasy, did not listen to Beyonce's new album.
Yep, I did not either. It is fantasy, not one song, but no indictment on her at all. Again, just a product of naturally everything that we have going on here. Fantasy football, sports wagering, hosting a couple shows every single day, trying to follow baseball. On top of it, no offense to Beyonce, I'm sure the album is great. I did see a new trailer, Davis. I didn't get through it all, but I did see a new Star Wars trailer again today. And it looks like, what is this now? Andor? It looks like it is, since we're on pop culture talk here, it looks like this is somewhere in before the Rogue One. So I'm trying to figure out where this is on my timeline here for Star Wars.
Yeah, I believe it is 10 years before the start of Rogue One. And I believe the way it's supposed to be structured is every season of this show of Andor is supposed to take place in 1 year of sort of galactic time. And it is going to be a multi-character centric show where half of it is going to be about Cassian Andor, the spy, obviously against the Empire, and Mon Mothma, who I think has like four lines in the original trilogy, but because there has been so much, you know, extra stuff done, you know, there's all these novels and Mon Mothma shows up in Rebels and in Clone Wars a few times. You know, she's sort of the boss after the Empire falls, so we're going to learn more about that character. It looked pretty good to me, and I actually think the best Star Wars content they can make is involving less of the original characters as possible, right? What has been the best Star Wars thing in the last 20 years? Mandalorian had literally nothing to do with the Skywalker saga, right? So I think the more content they do in terms of Star Wars stuff that has less to do with the Skywalkers and Vader and the Emperor and all that, I think the better. And I think it's easier to make good shows on that. I think we saw with Obi-Wan, like, it's just very hard to make a good show when you know how the story ends.
Yeah, and a lot of people felt like Rogue One may have been as good or better than any of the other movies that they put out. So maybe that is the case. I'll definitely be tuned into that and Better Call Saul tonight. So I have some fun things to watch. And The Captain coming up this week. Oh my gosh, that's right. The Captain Thursday night. I don't know if this is my week. I have to confirm that, but it very well could be. We'll have something fun to talk about here on the show on Thursday. All right, that's a lot to absorb. We will take a quick time out here on the show. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next, so stay on the grid as Davis and I will be back to wrap things up and send it over to Kevin and Donnie coming up at the top of the hour. I'll be back with you guys 2 o'clock Eastern Newswire. Joe Pizzapia will be with us here on the show. We'll talk some fantasy football and NFL football ramifications from this news on Deshaun Watson. That's our top story, without a doubt, here on Sports Grid today. We'll be back with more. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We do have one small trade in Major League Baseball. The Atlanta Braves are acquiring Iri Adrianza from the Washington Nationals. He is an infielder, very versatile. Trey Harris, a minor league outfielder, goes to Washington. Robinson Cano, who was on the Braves, designated for assignment. That's where we're at. Trade deadline coming up. Let's go to Davis. Here is the Sports Grid 60.
You know, the fire hose of training camp has really begun, and I actually want to use this space to give compliments to a huge chunk of the beat writers in the NFL. This used to not be the case, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. I would say, Craig, about 80% of these guys now understand who's reading their work and who's interacting. It's not rabid fans of the New England Patriots or the Washington Commanders who pays those guys salary. It's hopeless degens like me who are asking them, oh, how does Jonnu Smith look? Oh, who's going to be the third running back for the Commanders? How much is Brian Robinson playing? You know, what is Isaiah McKenzie doing in practice? And I got to hand it to him. Pretty much every beat writer I've interacted with is very cool about these fantasy football guys who just want fantasy information.
As it should be. And that's why I handle baseball the way that I do too. I think it's the only important thing is to make sure everyone gets taken care of in that way. Speaking of which, I guess we are waiting now on Juan Soto. And boy, at this point, it sure seems to be trending as though he is not going to be traded. That does not come from any information of any sort. It's just that we are basically a little bit over 24 hours away. And it's simply very hard to make a deal for a generational player within a week or two. For Soto's sake, obviously, I hope he gets to go wherever he wants, but that just may not come now. It may have to come at the end of the season. The one team, obviously, that I do think has a great shot would be the Dodgers. They always do something insane, and I expect tomorrow to be the same. That'll do it for the show today. Thanks, of course, to LTN, our graphics department, for sure. Danny and Ryan, our producer, Brett Levy. My co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll be back with you guys 2 o'clock Eastern for New York. Until then, thank you.